This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Ralph Yates, Chief Medical Officer at Salem Health Hospitals and Clinics. Dr. Yates, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
My pleasure as well. Thank you.
Now, I know we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm looking forward to catching up with you on what you're doing at Salem Health Hospitals and Clinics. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Certainly. I'm a family doc by training and board certification, and I still practice one day a week. I've been doing this for 44 years, and I oversee a medical staff of just under 1,000 physicians and advanced practitioners. Our health system, our largest hospital has 644 beds, and we are the major sole provider for an area of 500,000 patients in mid-Willamette Valley here in Oregon.
Well, that's great to hear. And, I'm wondering if we could start off with, could you tell me about one change that you've made in the last year or so that's really yielded some great results?
Yes, happy to. We are, I believe it's 13 years into our lean experience. We are seriously dedicated lean hospital system, and we pivoted over a year ago to recovery, which includes financial recovery coming out of COVID. And one part of that work that has directly involved medical staff and medical group, our medical group is right around 300 individuals and includes our adult hospitalists team, which is 65 physicians and advanced practitioners. The major piece of work that has taken place over the last year has been length of stay work. And the team's been successful in bringing it down almost 1.5 days from the about 6.4, 6.5 days that where it stood at the time they started doing their work. That work is continuing, it's ongoing, and we expect the continued improvement. A lot of this now for us involves patients and all health systems are dealing with this that are just have long stays. Their condition and their situation, sometimes social. So we're working on that in our usual method of approaching problems from a lean standpoint. And I would just add that the big takeaway that we've discovered and I've been in active conversation with friends and other systems who are doing the same thing is that fundamentally this comes down to a cultural piece, as so many things do. And we had to understand that and then address that in terms of how we do our work, how the hospitalists round, how they communicate with the nursing staff and discharge planners, and how this coordination takes place. It was fundamentally a cultural shift that had place.
Well, that's fascinating to hear about, and certainly awesome results in dropping that length of stay by 1.5 days. A ton of credit to you and your team for achieving that, because I know it's not easy. And when you think about, as you were mentioning, something like a cultural change, I know that certainly doesn't always come smoothly or naturally. So, when you're approaching having to make that kind of shift or make a change in the culture, what's important to do, or what groundwork as a leader do you need to lay to make sure that everyone else is able to buy in and really achieve what you set out to do?
Well, culture drives everything. I mean, we all say that, but it really does. And the crux of most cultural problems are communication and how people conduct their work, either individually or collectively. In terms of solving problems, the most difficult problems are almost always people problems, and they are what Ron Heifetz correctly identified long ago at Harvard, adaptive problems, and they require adaptive solutions. And an adaptive solution, by definition, is one where a team of committed, dedicated individuals sit down and solve the problem collectively. That's how you do it. And frankly, how you address the cultural piece. Because by definition, teams will bring others with them. So it's not one person, someone like me, saying, here's what you're going to do. Rarely does that work. If it does, or work well, if it does, it's not going to work as well as what a team working together will solve.
That makes a lot of sense, and it is really inspiring to hear. Now, broadening out just a bit, what are some of the top trends that you're following in the healthcare space right now? What is really top of mind for you, and what are you trying to solve for right now, within your strategic changes?
What's going on right now is rapid change, right? I mean, we all see it. It's changed in terms of turnover of personnel and our need to retain these great people that we work with. My emphasis is really on retention, and in particular, supporting the medical staff every way I can. Ensure that these individuals with so much wisdom and experience stay in this business and don't decide to do something else. I would say the top of the list for me is retention. I would just add, we've seen a dramatic turnover in our nursing staff, and I know we're not alone. Everyone else is experiencing the same thing. And it's been quite dramatic. We came out of, finished and came out of COVID. My daily emphasis, my North Star for me, is to ensure that we don't see the same thing with the medical staff. So far, we haven't. But it's a work in progress. As we come out of COVID and everyone is looking at this new world that we're in with 100% hospital census, EDs with patients backed up, care that's been delayed, this is the new normal for all of us. And how we adapt to that and how we support one another getting through it is really going to define where we end up.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And certainly, hearing from so many executives across the healthcare space and speaking to, trying to have those results with the retention in combating the nurse turnover, as well as just building within the teams the culture that you described earlier in our conversation of how people can do things together with each other and for each other. So, I think it's definitely a hard piece of the puzzle right now in healthcare to solve, but it's great to hear that you're focused on that, and it sounds like have really started on the journey at the very least to kind of get into a space where you're able to solve some of those issues.
Well, we are, and I believe fundamentally people need to know that they're appreciated as professionals, as individuals, that we respect them, we appreciate them, and we will do everything we can to support them professionally and personally.
Absolutely. No, that you're spot on. And I really think that's so important as well. Now, looking ahead into the future, how are you thinking about growth and development over the next 2 to 3 years or so?
Well, we're seeing the same thing everyone else is seeing, I believe. And there's really been a dramatic shift, independent practice to other forms of employment. In particular, hospital-based employment of previously independent groups. And we're aware of this. We're doing what we can to support independent practices in our area that we have such close relationships with. But the landscape's really changing dramatically. And is a obviously it's a reflection of the new math that's out there regarding reimbursement and the percentage of your patients that are commercial versus Medicare, Medicaid. I think that's, for me, is one of the biggest changes that's occurring.
That makes a lot of sense. In seeing the evolution and seeing that shift, I know, as you mentioned, trying to support the independent physicians whenever possible, but as time goes on, and you see that kind of shift in how physicians are, private practice to employed in other types of situations, what does that mean, do you think, for healthcare and healthcare delivery overall?
Well, one is we need to stay in touch with it and ensure ahead of what's going on and anticipating the changes that take place. I saw a statistic recently that 75% of physicians are now employed. I've been at Salem for 10 years. And I came from a multi-specialty, independent multi-specialty group up in Portland, Portland Clinic. The math involved with operating these complex clinics has just become more and more difficult. I think from the standpoint of hospitals and hospital systems, it means that we have a lot of evolution to do regarding what the employment model looks like. And things, for example, like the medical staff model, been around forever. How do they relate to one another? How do they work with one another? And this is an evolutionary process, one that we're going through right now, particularly as our medical group continues to increase in size, as it is with others around the country.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Yates, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I really appreciate your perspective. You raised some excellent points here, as well as, I appreciate you sharing some of the things that you're doing at Salem Health Hospitals and Clinics. Thank you for your time today, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.